John McAllister's in the studio with us this morning. Morning to you.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Is it going to be you then?
Well, I'll tell you on Saturday about 12, half 12, hopefully.
What's wrong with the Ulster Unionist Party at the minute? How are you going to get it out of the mess it's in?
Well, I've set out a pretty clear agenda of where I would like the Ulster Unionist Party to go. I would like to take us into opposition. Opposition, to my mind, provides two vital things. It provides proper scrutiny, transparency on the government, and it also provides you as a voter an alternative at the next election. It will give the party a chance to rebuild, reconnect, bank up policies that we think relate to people's lives today.
To rebuild? It'll give the party a chance to rebuild?
Yes.
Heartbroken, is it?
Well, electorally, we've had a difficult series of elections. I mean, there's no point.
But give me your assessment, John,
no
as to how bad things are, because you need an understanding of that and a truthful, honest, open evaluation of that in order to rebuild.
Yes.
So if you're standing in front of the UUP,
yeah,
how bad is it?
Well, clearly we are a party that has suffered electorally. I mean, we've been from 2007, we've lost two more seats in the Assembly. We've lost a number of council seats. We have to rebuild, reconnect with voters, build up in our council base and get back to a position that we can actually challenge.
And what was the reason for that?
The first one? Well, I think
bad leader?
A series of reasons. Actually, from 1998, I don't think we grabbed the agreement. We didn't give confidence and leadership right through that period. Wrangles of things that, too many open fights and too much of that on the media. I think that's, you need to get a clear, distinct message.
Too much dissent in the media.
Clear? No. Much dissent by our members in the media, not by the media.
But too much dissent by your members in the media.
Yes.
Really?
Well,
so you never dissented to the media. No?
Well, I don't think I have, no. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to, if you think I have, point that out. But
let me point it out then. I can remember being up in the Assembly, being up in Stormont.
Yes.
And was it not you and Basil McRae were talking about the Deputy First Minister having equal status to the First Minister, and that was directly against what Tom Elliott wanted and what Tom Elliott has said?
It wasn't directly against what Tom said. It was what the party line and the point that I was making at that
point. It's against
point,
the party line, John.
What I was making at that point was that if you say there is a difference, because you know and I know and every listener knows, there is no difference between the office of Deputy First Minister and that of First Minister.
But it was against the party line.
If we go, that was our problem. We didn't have a clear party line on that. It was against what David McNary, who came onto your programme, said. It was against what he thought. It wasn't against. We didn't have a distinct party line, and that has been the problem with the party.
And was it your leader's view or not? Was it Tom Elliott's view at that time?
We haven't had a distinct message on issues like that. So when I say we go into opposition, it gives us a chance to build and take away from some of those things, because we want to normalise politics here, Stephen. We want to make it at a stage that people actually vote on issues rather than you better vote for them to stop somebody else getting something.
John,
I don't think that's a positive way to do politics.
But John, dissent within your party has been a problem, and you've marked it today. Yeah. And just before I move on from that, you knew what your party leader's position was at that time, and you went on a solo run.
I didn't go on a solo run. What I said was actually what I've reflected for a number of years.
Yeah, you have. But what was Tom Elliott saying at that time?
But that was it. We weren't entirely clear what the message was.
Exactly. So rather than sorting it out behind the scenes, John McAllister, you undermined him. And now you're expecting respect if you're the leader.
Because I'm setting out a very clear agenda of what we'll do. If the membership of the Ulster Unionist Party endorse me on Saturday, I'm saying this is where I'm going with the party. No ifs and ands, no nuance in position. We're going into opposition. This is what we're going to do. We're not doing unionist unity because we think that's absolutely counterproductive.
Mike Nesbitt hasn't ruled it out. He says never say never.
It retreats us back into the sectarian range. I know Mike hasn't ruled it out, and that's why I'm setting out a very clear agenda in this, Stephen, and saying to you, I will take the party into opposition, use it to scrutinise the DUP Sinn Féin government, and use it as a chance to rebuild, reconnect with voters, and build on how we normalise the politics here. That's what we need to be doing here, is taking away from the high stakes, this idea of first and deputy first minister. Oh, you better all vote for that one to stop the other one getting it. I don't think that's healthy when people are actually worried about jobs and hospitals. You've debated health many times on this show. That's what actually people want us to focus on.
So the system at the moment, you want to change because you believe it's broken?
Yes.
Why are you working within it now then? Why have you been taking a salary?
Well, that's the argument that I make. I'm not saying the Assembly. My salary is for the Northern Ireland Assembly. I'm saying come out of the executive branch of government. Now, don't get confused. They're two separate branches of government. So I'm saying come out of the executive and do the same as Labour provide at Westminster or Fine Gael, Sinn Féin provide in Dublin. We would provide that opposition role.
So if you lose this leadership contest, you could never in the future be part of the executive system as it stands at the moment.
Well, I mean, that would be up to, if I lose, it's obviously going to be Mike as leader.
You could never take a ministerial
post. No, I wouldn't take a minister on that point because I don't believe in. But what I will say is that whoever wins on Saturday, the party will have spoken and the party will have decided collectively. There's no higher authority to ask in the Ulster Unions Party than the membership.
Why, John, are you a better leader than Mike Nesbitt?
Well, I think I've qualities that I can bring to the job.
That means nothing. Why are you better than Mike Nesbitt?
I've led different organisations. I've been involved in politics longer than Mike, and I've set out a very clear vision of what I want to do.
He set out a clear vision. Why are you better than him? You're either going to go into this as a leader, stand up tall and say, I'm better than that guy, here's why, or not. Why are you better than him?
I have set out a clear vision of where I'm going to take the party.
And he hasn't?
That's up to you to decide, and that's up for the membership of the party to decide.
So you're not going
to
take him on. You want the job that much, you're not prepared to tell your party and indeed the public why you're better than him.
Well, you're
that's
just
pretty lightweight, isn't it?
Well, I don't think it is. I've set out the differences. The main differences between Mike and I are over unionist unity. I'm saying no to, and over the opposition question, he's saying no to that as well. And that is the main differences.
Okay.
And they're pretty fundamental that the party has to make a decision on Saturday. I'm not getting in. The reason I'm not getting into that is I'm not getting into the personal stuff. Well, I'm better than Mike.
See, I'm not asking into the personal stuff. I'm asking in terms of policy, in terms of ability.
I'm telling you, in terms of policy, opposition is the place for the Ulster Unionist Party to go to rebuild and reconnect with our voters.
You mentioned health.
Yes.
Massive issue. How would you fix it?
It is a massive issue, and it's been badly handled by Edwin Poots. I mean, a year ago, in the last Assembly, we constantly made the argument that health was going to run into a funding crisis. Mm. We were told, we were scaremongering, it's just Michael McGimsey and John McAllister.
You're going to be the leader for the future. How would you fix it? Tell me your policy.
And
we will set
out clear policies on that.
Set it out now.
Right. What we would have to do, we have to actually find more money for it. We have to find a better way. Take the money out of the social investment fund. There's money there that...
Hold on. More money. How much more money is needed?
Well, we said last year it was about 200 million that was going to be needed.
Okay. Per year?
Per year. Now,
So 200 Edwin, million, and how much was given?
How much was given? Sorry, for what?
You said last year that 200 million was needed?
We said the 200 million extra was
needed. How much did they get extra?
There was about 38 or 40 million given.
So they're 160 million short per year. And where are you getting that from?
We would get some of it out of things like social investment.
How much?
We would have to move. There's 80 million over the 4-year period, so 20 million a year.
So you're short 140 million.
There's money that we would move from other government departments.
Which
we would
departments?
OFM, DFM could be cut down.
By how much?
On money. Well, fill in the gap, Stephen.
What do you mean fill in? No, I'm not going to. You're 140 million quid short.
Yes.
For one of the biggest policy areas.
But there's
in
things that we've actually said that we will support on the Compton Review. We support the move from the acute side or trying to build up the community side. What I've constantly warned Edwin Poots on is that he's planning on taking £83 million out of the acute side while you're on constantly telling us how difficult that's going to be. I have warned consistently that if he takes £83 million out of the acute side and puts it into community, he needs to have all those services in place.
But your clear policy, announced this morning, is that you will find £200 million per year extra. Now,
you asked me how much we said last year that health needed.
And you said it needs a lot more money, and I said how much, and you said £200 million.
Yes, we said it needed £200 million last year.
So is it £200 million would fix it?
Well, even £200 million per year is what we were saying it would need to get that.
So actually you need the guts of £1 billion, John. You need £800 million over the next 4 years.
We said we could probably do it on the £600 million. The figures originally were lift health spending to £5.4 billion.
The reason I'm pushing
Michael
in this,
McGimsey
the reason I'm pushing in this,
4.8.
Because I'll tell you what, if there's a leader that the public, and it might be Edwin Poots, I'm not criticising him, but if there's a leader that the public have confidence in terms of the health service, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of votes there. So you're now saying that you need £600 million to fix it. Where's it coming from?
I'm saying that's the figure we put out last year.
Forget
that
about
you
what
need.
You put out
no,
last year.
No, it's important, Steve. It's important. We put that out last year, and we said there's going to be savings coming through.
That was under Tom Elliott's leadership, John.
There's going to be savings coming through on the transforming your care.
Yeah.
What I've warned about is that if you stay still on the budget, it will not keep up. It will not.
But Edwin you're has saying got 70. Forget about Edwin.
No.
Talk about you.
Edwin's the minister at the moment. Edwin has £70 million that he's been given to deliver in Compton. What I'm warning about is how he gets that £83 million from the acute side of the business while you do programme after programme and saying crisis on A&E and problems in health service. Just on before me, of course, you had the Director of Medical Services. That's what I'm saying. You
John,
need to reform health and you need
and
to
your way of reforming
of
it is to pump more money into the system.
It is to pump some more money into the
how
system.
How much more money? Let me give you a third chance. How
it
much?
It is to pump some
well, it
more money.
Off, it started off £200 million a year.
Yes.
Then it's £150 million a year. Look, what is... You must have costed this, John.
We have closed
have you costed
the gaps. We have closed some of the gap and the Transforming Your Care report will close that gap further. But what I'm warning you about, Stephen, is that the health service is in such a bad state under Edwin Poots at the moment that we will have bothered delivering on the Transforming Your Care agenda because of the state of the health service at the minute. How does he take that £83 million out of acute...
You're talking about him again.
Of course I'm talking about him because he's the minister at the moment. I mean, there's not going to be an assembly election to 2015, at least maybe 2016. So how do you think it would not be his responsibility? That's what I'm saying that we are going to keep an eye and watch
on. Another huge issue for the population, the economy.
Yes.
Mike Nesbitt said he'd create something like 60,000 new jobs. How many would you create and how?
Well, I think that's 60,000, maybe slightly unrealistic. But what I would say is
he's
need
making
to
promises he can't keep.
We need to look at how we how invest in iWork, how we improve our skills sector. I mean, we need much better skills and much more focus on preparing people for work the skills that you actually need.
But
on jobs,
in terms of invest in I, you'd look at how it works.
Are
they fit for purpose? Are they good? Are you happy with them?
I'm not overly happy with them. I mean, we've handed a considerable amount of money back. Yes, it's a difficult world economy out there. One of the difficulties is that we haven't got enough focus. We've something like 86 different targets on Invest in I or areas that they want to look at. We probably need to be much more focused and target driven. And I think, you know, at the CBI dinner last week and Minister Foster was there as well. They were saying that you need much tighter focus on that, and I think actually we're looking at too wide an agenda.
When you think of savers and pensioners maybe getting a return on their savings, would you like to see the Bank of England base rate go up?
No, because I think that actually hurts a bigger section of the population. Because a Bank of England base rate goes up, we will all pay more. And the economy...
What's that at the minute, John?
It's at 0.5%.
It's very low, isn't it? It's not going to get any lower.
No, and it's not going to get any lower, but I don't want it to go up. Because part of the problem with our lending at the minute is that we can't, but small businesses, small and medium-sized businesses are having bother getting access to lending, and that's a major problem in business. I know that from my, from even my agri-food background.
Let me just ask you some other questions that I did put to Mike Nesbitt as well. Yeah. Is it natural to be gay?
It's if people are born that way, it's fine with me. It's not up to me to
is it
decide
natural?
Whether.
Is
not
it
up
natural?
To me to decide whether it's natural or unnatural.
So you don't have
it's
a position on it.
I don't have.
Here's a leader with no position on it.
Why would I have a? Don't be ridiculous, Stephen. Why would I have a position on whether it's natural or unnatural to be gay? If I'm here to say that if people were are gay, that's absolutely
okay.
fine.
Right
with
to
me.
Life and right to death, euthanasia. Do you support it or not?
No. I'm opposed to it, but I would give the party a free vote